As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And once again, we're back here on the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, winding down from another exciting week here in the River City. The weather's kind of sucked, but we have been doing a lot of things. I've been really busy. I hope you have too. There's a lot of stuff going on. You know, last weekend was packed with activities and things going on, things to do. I'll talk a little bit about some of those things a little bit later. But I want to tell you that, as always, I've come through with some great guests this week. In the second half of the show, I want you to stay tuned, and you will hear from a young woman who has a very interesting story. Joseph was... when I met her, she was living here in Louisville, an entrepreneur, had her own business hosting dinners. It was called Bon Vivant Savant, and it was a lot of fun. And she made a life decision, career decision to move to South America. She moved to Uruguay and now lives in Peru, and her story is fascinating. And I will tell you also that it did mark a first. She is the mother of a seven-month-old Oliver who came to the studio with her when I interviewed her the other week. It's the first time in Rusty Satellite Show history that anyone has breastfed during the show. And I'm telling you, that really happened, and it was very natural. You know, there's been some controversy about breastfeeding in this town, the whole Kentucky Kingdom thing that happened this summer. But anyway, you won't be able to tell just from listening what's going on. But anyway, that did happen. So I just wanted to let you know. And my first guest is a parks director, and Scott Martin met a month or two ago. He has a really cool job, and is really excited about it and really happy. He's got a great office. I went out to his office. It's out in the park, out Taylorsville Road. You know, if you know that area, you know, right before the gas station, you turn right, and there's some soccer fields back there, and there's a house up on the hill where the offices are for this this magnificent 4,000-acre park that is, he said, 30% finished. And there's a lot more details you'll find out in our interview. And the project is called the Parklands of Floyd's Fork. It's it may be about the best thing that's happened that is currently happening in our city. I really believe in this. It's not that far from where I live, but the park stretches, if you don't know, from outside the Snyder, it's a long, thin park, I guess is one way you say it, from like Shelbyville Road south to Bardstown Road. And it's going to be all finished, I think, next year, he says in the interview. But don't listen to me. Listen to Scott Martin, the parks director for the Parklands of Floyd Fork. Here's our interview.
Today, I'm not sure where I'm at with Scott Martin of the Parklands of Floyd's Fork. Scott, welcome to the show, and tell me where I'm found myself here.
Yeah, you're lucky. You're sitting on the porch at my office, which doesn't sound near as exciting as its actual location, which is in the heart of Popelick Park, which is one of the two parks we have open now. It's about a 600-acre park. You are sitting in about the middle of 100 acres of woods that are about 100 years old. So all the sounds you hear in the background are our little birds and critters that are starting to wake up on this early morning.
Wow, and you know, just for our listeners, the sun's coming up. It's a beautiful morning. And, Scott, I just want to ask a little bit about this project, because a lot of people have heard about what a great new park system we have and how big it is. But, you know, give me a little bit of an idea of what it's really about.
Yeah. We're very fortunate here in Louisville to have the Olmsted system of parks, Cherokee, Iroquois, and Shawnee in the parkways, and they define what it means to live in Louisville. And when we asked ourselves, what is there to do? I got a couple deer running through the woods.
There's deer going through your woods.
When we asked ourselves, what can we do for the next 100 years for Louisville, the model is do exactly what Olmsted did. So where you are right now is in our best effort to recreate what Frederick Law Olmsted did in the 1890s in Louisville, which is get ahead of development and set significant land aside as public park and recreational space for the next generation. And that is what you're sitting in.
Okay. And I've been to parts of the park that are finished, and as I understand it, it's a work in progress, so to speak. Parts of the public section have been opened, and I know parts of it are, I rode my bike by a spot on Broad Run Road, I think, the other day. It looked like it was under construction. Tell me about the progress of the park and when the finished thing will be finished.
Yeah, all right. So the park, in real serious terms, got really going in about 2008 with fundraising, because this is a private-public partnership. So we had to raise nearly $125 million to build this. That money's been raised. In 2012, we began opening phases of the park. And as of today, we have about 30% of the park open. And those are our two northern parks, Beckley Creek and Popelick Park. At the end of next year, we will open the remainder of the park. And that means all 4,000 acres will be open. What we like to say is that this is the largest fully funded public park project in the country right now that's actually getting done. There are a lot of projects, a lot of designs that sit on shelves and collect dust. This thing's actually happening, and by next year, Louisville will have seen a new 4,000 acres of public parks open since 2010, making it the largest acreage-wise park expansion for a metropolitan area in the nation.
Wow. And I know, to give people an idea of the size, I know that I've heard talk about, or I've heard part of one of your talking points, I guess, about how big this is compared to those city parks, Iroquois, Shawnee, and Cherokee, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, you're looking at a Cherokee park, and it's too early. I'm not going to get the numbers right, but, you know, roughly 500 acres. New York Central Park, when is that one? 700 acres. And what we're talking about here is 4,000 acres.
Wow.
So it in the park world, size does matter. What makes Yellowstone special is how big it is, because size gives you, like we just saw deer running through, gives you large habitat blocks. It gives you what Olmsted called rooms, where you're introducing new amenities, new experiences, new habitats, new parks almost, and that's what the 4,000 acres allows us to do. Now, the one kind of unique thing about us is we're nearly 20 miles long. We're a narrow park in sections because we follow Floyd's Fork, the stream. So it actually feels longer.
If you know the Snyder, as I understand it, it goes from like Bardstown Road to Shelbyville Road.
That's correct.
Except out.
Out, all in Jefferson County, which surprises a lot of folks when they come out here. And then each park has its major entryway off of an exit of the Snyder. So you've said one. Bardstown Road, that's the entrance to Broad Run Park. And there's a parkway that connects the parks within the park. The next road up would be Billtown. That's the entrance to Turkey Run Park. Taylorsville Road, where you came in today for this interview, that's Popelick Park. And then Shelbyville Road is Beckley Creek Park.
Okay. Well, I've been around here for a long time, and I've heard the city officials talk for a long time about the Louisville Loop.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me how the Louisville Loop works into this 4,000 acres you got out here.
Yeah, we get that question a lot, and it's confusing for some reason. Okay, so Jerry Abramson, when he was mayor, proposed, and they began work on what's going to become a 100-mile pedestrian and walking and hiking loop. That's a pathway system that will entirely encircle the city. And they've got about 20, 30 miles of it done. That essentially starts in Waterfront Park and then works counterclockwise around the city, over beyond Riverport, over to Farnsley Mormon. Okay. What we are doing is we are building the loop within our park. So it's a part of our park. And our section's about 19 miles long, and it goes with full connection from Bardstown Road north to Shelbyville Road. And if you think of Louisville as a clock, we go from about 3 o'clock to about 6 o'clock.
Okay.
The city then will pick up either one of those ends and connect it around the city. And that whole project will complete the Louisville Loop. But within the park, we have 19 miles of the Louisville Loop. And for a user or listener, what that means as us is a 10-foot-wide either concrete or asphalt path that's perfectly great for running, jogging, you know, baby strollers, biking. That's really the focus. And that's the backbone of our park.
Okay. And that part of it is – is 30% of that done too, or is it
7 miles is open now? Okay. So you can go from Bardstown Road to about 2 miles south of Taylorsville Road, and then we will open the remaining 12 miles next year.
Okay, very, very good, very interesting. Now, I'm curious about you, and how do you become? I don't even know what position you have out here, and how do you get to that point? Because it's certainly not a career path that one would expect. I don't expect.
Well, I'll be the first to admit I'm very lucky. I always knew I wanted to work in parks, and so I was a park ranger in college for the National Park Service. I lived in Idaho and worked in parks in Boise, Idaho.
And you went to college
at Boise State.
Boise State.
Yeah. Yep.
There you go.
The blue turf. And the lesson I learned in Boise, and I always tell the story. My dad's a city manager in Virginia. I grew up in Virginia, so I always thought in the South, you know, to do economic development to grow a city, you write a big check. Someone flies in like the governor, they cut the big check, and the company comes into your town. And that's how you do job creation. And we've seen that model done everywhere. Sure. When I was in Boise, the city led the nation in wealth creation for 10 years without writing a single economic development incentive check. The argument they made is we will give you a great city to live in. And they invested strongly, so strongly in their parks and schools and public safety agencies, it's ridiculous. But the argument was rather than give companies money, let's give services that our citizens use funding to do their job right, and then business will come in. And that was really the aha moment for me, is that parks are, if you do them right, you maintain them well, they are your engine of your economy. Because look at Cherokee Park and all the investments that came around Cherokee Park. Look at what's happening with Waterfront Park now and the way downtown and our city's core is absolutely coming alive. That's all about green space and the ability to access it. So that's where I became a parks and local parks and rec person and worked out in Boise, a very conservative Republican city, but we passed $10 million in open space conservation. Funny story, Micron Technologies, major employer there, high-tech company. Okay, so they recruit from Yale and Stanford and Ivy League. So you can imagine the sales job to recruit someone to Boise, Idaho is not, not exactly the easiest. What we learned is they were flying in their candidates at sunset and making sure the candidates sat on the wing of the plane that would see the Rockies in purple glow. And they were timing it for sunset. And that's why they supported open space conservation.
So it's all about it. Looks are important. It looks in size.
Beauty matters.
What we're learning. Yeah.
People want to live in pretty cities. There's no surprise about that. And we shouldn't, you know, with the urban heat island and everything else we're working on, pretty matters. We want to live in pretty places.
So they got you to come. You came from Boise here?
Mm-mm. Boise to just outside of Roanoke, Virginia, where I was doing economic development and parks and open space. And then this position became available. And in my career, in my profession, to be associated and have the opportunity to work on a project this significant, I mean, this is, I'll use NASCAR parlance. This is Cup. This is the highest that you can do. And the neatest thing is that it's happening. I'm kind of a doer by nature. I like seeing progress. Mm-hmm. I've done enough plans that went nowhere. But to be involved with plans that you write a plan on Monday and then it's executed on Wednesday is unique.
Okay. Okay. And you've been here now how long?
I got here in 2010. Okay. I'm employee number 4 of this company, and we're up to 43 now.
Wow. And so to recruit you, they didn't need to fly you on the certain side of the plane to come in here to Kentucky?
No, I landed here, and my interview and all that was walking with Dan Jones and Michael Gage, our naturalists. I got off one of those great commuter flights from Charlotte where you feel like you flew over the Alps because of thunderstorms, slightly airsick, and then have to hike 5 miles and prove my toughness to those guys. So.
Also, there's a hiking test to get a
There's an absolute hike. Don't let them lie to you. There's a big hiking test, identifying trees and all that.
Well, okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind if I want to come out here and work for you. It's certainly a nice atmosphere. You know, just in the time we've been talking here, it's gotten a little brighter and the deer run by. So, you know, what Tell me what a typical day is like for you. I guess you just want to stay out here in your office.
I'd love to just stay out here, but we do a lot more things like budgeting and policies and all the boring stuff. Had a park superintendent told me the best job you'll ever have is a seasonal park ranger. Everything else after that point is a manager. but we do. We spend a lot of time inventorying. We take a lot of time studying the landscape, figuring out how to teach the landscape, with the thought being this. Louisville doesn't have the Tetons. We don't even have the Caribbean. We have these great hardwood forests. Now, the trick is, in any great park, is to enjoy this, it's a nuanced landscape. So what we have to do is show people that the landscape we take for granted every day around here is every bit as exceptional as Yellowstone or Mount Rainier. And how you build that receptivity and how you build that into the park takes a lot of design.
Well, that's the thing, and this is probably the last thing I want to ask you about. Certainly, you know, you say it's a park, you keep buildings and things out, preserve the green space, but you've got to create programs and create reasons for people to visit, other than, hey, there's a bunch of land out here with animals running around in it.
That's exactly right. You know, it's getting people off the sidewalk is actually tricky. We got to build a culture here in Louisville of appreciation and enjoyment of the outdoors. The story we tell is, if in Seattle, the only time you went outdoors is when it was 70 degrees and sunny, they would never go outside. So how do we, as a park manager and programmer in Louisville, teach folks that a day like today is beautiful, but a day in January is a great day outdoors in the park, too? You know, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad gear. So we spend a lot of time working on that.
Okay, well, great. Well, I've got to, you know, get it on my schedule. I know there's canoeing out here. I know I can ride my bike from my house out here. So I'm really looking forward to enjoying this thing. I'm sure a lot of people in Louisville are, too. Again, how can people get information about the things that are going on?
Yeah, go to our website, theparklands.org. Go to our Facebook page. Ellen Doolittle, our communication manager, keeps an outstanding update on Facebook page. And that's where you find out what's happening today. Oh, my gosh. The blah, blah, blah bird are migrating. Our Facebook page will tell you where it is and where it's occurring, so you can come see it. And then I always tell folks, we are an entirely donor-supported public park. We get no tax dollars for operations. So if folks believe in this sort of work, becoming a member of the Parklands, which is $35 a household, or $35 an individual, $50 a household, those dollars then go right into protecting and watching over this park.
Okay, great. All right, Scott. Well, thank you for being on the Rusty Satellite Show and inviting me out to your office. It's a really pleasant place. I think I might stay a while.
There you go.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, Scott. That was that's a tremendous office up there in the park, and kind of got a little jealous of that setting. It'd be a perfect place to do something like be a writer or some solitary thing. There's plenty of room to walk, and it was really interesting to have the I kid you not, we were up there at the crack of dawn the other morning, and two deer just darted right not 20 yards from where we were going through the woods. He said there's all kinds of critters and animals up there, so it's quite a setting. And the Parks Project, again, it's a great project. I want to get this as part of the show where I talk to you about some of the things going on in my life and in the life of the city of Louisville, my hometown. And I want to tell you about a little project that I started on with my son, Luke, who is 16 years old. He's a student at Eastern High School. And he came home the other day, said he had this project he's got to do. He's got to do something, anything, for 30 days. And I'm not sure all the details, all the specifics of the assignment, but he decided to do a journal. And Luke did not get the writing gene from me, I guess. He claims he doesn't like it, but he's a very
I think he's a very intelligent and very thoughtful young man. And he said, you know, he wanted me to kind of help him out on his project. And so I agreed to do it. And we talked about it. We're making it public. And if you go to LouisvilleKY.com for 30 days, he and I've decided to do it, too. I need some help. You know, your writing skills can get rusty if you don't use them. So I wanted to do a little more with mine. And so there are going to be journals. Myself, this will be my version and Luke's version on LouisvilleKY.com. Hopefully for the next 30 days, if he comes through, he's got the pressure of needing to do it for a grade. I just sort of want to do it and help him. It came on the heels. I was inspired. It didn't just come out, but the October issue of Esquire magazine, my favorite magazine, is about mentoring young men and how to build a man, it says on the cover. And there's a lot of inspiring stories inside about people. I was interested in one section, had a lot of famous people talking about who their mentors were and who they credited for their success. And it's really an important topic, one that, you know, if you're not talking about it with someone, if you're a father, you should, you know, you really should, you know, far be it for me to give advice, but I have raised and fathered three sons who are out there in the world, and now they're, you know, they're getting big. Luke is the youngest. He's 16. He's a junior in high school. He'll be going to college in a couple of years, if you can believe it. So, anyway, I would tell you that, you know, it might be sort of interesting to see what Lucas has to say and what I have to say. I haven't done the journaling thing. So that's something to look out for. Of course, the big news, moving on, the big news in this town, if you follow politics at all, is the election. You know, in the Senate race between Allison Lundergan Grimes and Mitch McConnell, they actually had their own one and only debate of the season. Now, I didn't watch it. I've heard a lot about it. I know that, you know, it wasn't really a debate. It was sort of an opportunity for the two candidates to express their, you know, just to talk through their issues. You know, politics has come down to talking points. And I guess I just don't like the issues that they tend to talk about. And I think, you know, as much as I want to like Allison Lundergan Grimes, and as much as I prefer that she win over Mitch, I think she just made one of the biggest mistakes a political candidate's ever made this week. That, you know, they got hung up. The whole campaign has been about her and President Obama. And how much she is either like President Obama or not like President Obama. And the McConnell campaign is trying to tie her to him because she knows, unfortunately, this is the thing that really irks me about the state of Kentucky, is the lack of popularity of President Obama in the state. It is phenomenal how much dislike there is for him here, especially outside of Louisville. And it's embarrassing to me. I think there's some... I think race is definitely a factor in that, and there may be other reasons, but the bottom line is, you know, being tied to Obama in this state is seen as death to a candidate. So Grimes was asked in a Courier Journal interview, and this made national news, her reaction. She refused to say that she voted for President Obama in 2008 or 2012. She claimed it was her right to sanctity the ballot box, all this bull crap. You know, just answer the question. It's just disappointing. I think even her supporters just look at this decision. And then she got on national news. This got national attention, her inability to, you know, to say why she, you know, who she voted for in the presidential election. I mean, McConnell told everybody who he voted for. I'll tell you, I voted for President Obama both times. And there's a lot of debate. Everybody seems to want to bash the president. I always challenge people that tell me how bad he is. I say, well, what policies of his do you hate? What do you not like? Is it Obamacare, which is a great success here in Kentucky? Well, okay. What exactly is it that you don't like so much about this president? And I read a story about Paul Krugman in Rolling Stone this week, a national story that was very much making the argument that he was a great president, that he has been a great president. So, you know, if you're gonna make claims like that, just have something to back it up. But of course, I can't support McConnell. I don't like Grimes, but I certainly can't support McConnell. Now, his big, what I would say is a gaffe, is he's refusing to say whether or not he believes that climate change is a man-made issue. And this is an issue the Republicans are holding on to. If you watch Bill Maher, John Stewart, any of those guys, they all love to make fun of the Republicans because they like refuse to do it. You know, they all know they're going to be dead before, you know, climate change really maybe affects us. But politically, it's becoming a thing for Republicans to deny the existence of climate change, and they don't believe the science. And McConnell's response to the question about whether he believes it's a real thing or not is that he's not a scientist and he doesn't know. Well, all the scientists, you know, pretty much all the scientists have weighed in, and you know, it's just political. It's just, you know what, I'd like, you know, the candidates, I think, are so well guarded and protected. You never see them actually answer a question from a reporter. You know, they're never given reporters don't seem to ever be given the chance to actually ask questions. There was very much controversy a month or two ago over Mitch McConnell making appearances and the campaign going through great effort to make sure that objective reporters or reporters that weren't friendly to them weren't invited into the events. So it's a broken system. I used to work in I worked on one campaign in my life, and that was enough. I worked on the Bruce Lunsford campaign in 2007 for governor. I still think he should have won. Sure would have been better than having the governor that we have now, Steve Beshear. But anyway, that's ancient history. I encourage you to pay attention. It is more interesting, the judges races and the metro council races that are going on in town. Please pay attention to those and get educated on the candidates and make an informed decision at the ballot box. So anyway, moving on, last weekend, there were so many things going on. A lot of people were paying attention to the Louisville game down in Clemson in football. I went to, it was Parents Weekend at the University of Kentucky. My girlfriend Paula's daughter goes there, and we went up there. I hadn't been to UK for a football game in years and years and years. I used to be the editor of the game programs back in the Jerry Claiborne era in the 80s. And the place is a lot different. Of course, I never experienced the tailgating, and we just walked around to different tailgates. Never actually made it into the game, but I really enjoyed the atmosphere down there. It was fun. Everybody was happy. I think you know, Kentucky football is going in the right direction. I just saw a story where they've unveiled plans for a new $1 billion football facility down there. There's a lot of construction going down there on campus. I hadn't walked around on campus for probably 20 years, so there's a lot of good stuff going on in UK. I have to hand it to them. So, anyway, I don't know what all you did. There's always a lot of activities going on in Louisville. I have a hard time figuring out what to do sometimes. There's just and then I just want to sometimes just chill out and sit at home. But I'm finding I can hardly watch TV anymore. It's really tough. I've been watching a few shows. I watched Madam Secretary with Tia Leone. I really like this new show on Showtime called The Affair. I encourage you to tune into that. It's got the guy that was in The Wire is the star of the show, and it's an edgy, dark show, and it's, you know, I've heard it called, it's the golden age of TV, because there's so many networks. I mean, it's hard to believe that when we thought like TV was really hot back in the 80s and the 90s, it was like when Seinfeld was on, that was really great. And that was great. But network TV just, you know, it's not that good, but there's so many networks with so much original programming. I even saw, I have Amazon Prime, and I even been watching this show called Transparent with Jeffrey Tambor, about a father of three who basically decides to become a woman in his 60s, it's just very well produced. You know, it's interesting to watch, and it's something that I just find interesting that between that. There's so much culture out there to absorb and so many events to do. I guess I'm running out of time to do everything. But anyway, I think it's time to move on to our next guest. It's Joe Self, who is a delightful personality, a wonderful woman. Her story is just fascinating to me, that she went to Peru. She moved from Louisville, always lived in Louisville, and moved to South America. She went on an online dating site down there. It was just like here. She'll tell you that in the interview. Found a guy, married him, had a child, and now hopes to come back every year and spend some time in Louisville with her husband and her son, Oliver, who's just a cutie. You just got to see him. There's a picture of the two of them on the RustySatelliteShow.com site. I encourage you to look in. But for right now, let's listen in as I talked about Peru and other things with Joe Self. I'm here in the studio today with a special guest named Oliver and his mom, Joe Self. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rick. Great to be here. Thanks so much for having us.
And I've known you many, many years, but primarily before you left for an exciting adventure in another country. So tell me a little bit about, you know, I know you were, for our listeners, you were running a business here in Louisville. And the next thing I know, you were off to Peru.
Yes, I was running away from the States. I'm not a wanted woman, though. Most people wonder what I'm running from. And it was really just a great opportunity that came my way. Before I left, I was doing the underground dinners here in Louisville with Bon Vivant Savant. And was really enjoying what I was doing, but just ready for a change. And I had done an independent study in Peru back in college in 1995. And it had just always sort of captured a bit of my heart. And when it was time to go, it was time to go, and Peru was where I went back to. I guess Oliver has a little bit to add to that, too.
Yeah, you picked up a little extra baggage on the way down there,
I guess. Yeah, I got my 7-month-old with us today, and he was sleeping, of course, just before we got here.
Well, he's as cute as they come, I tell you. So you left here, and you went down, and, you know, I guess how long have you been out of Louisville? When did you leave Louisville?
I left Louisville November 1st, 2010, and okay. I didn't go to Peru initially. Where I went first was to Uruguay. Mostly because there was a job that was there. It was a chance to just get away and learn a little bit about tourism and that kind of industry and the travel business. And while I was in Uruguay, I got to know this girl from Peru who was traveling through. And she said, well, gosh, if you loved Peru so much, why aren't you there? And I said, you know, that's an excellent question. So I got online, found myself a job in Cusco, bought a one-way ticket, and off I went to Peru, I've been there for 3.5 years now.
Well, that really takes some courage. Now, I'll tell our listeners that Peru is that South American country south of Ecuador and north of Chile, and it's right down there in the circle, I guess, in the curve of South America. It's hot there, I understand.
It can be hot. It depends on where you go. There's actually something like 200 microclimates. There's 30 just within Lima alone. And so when we're kind of rainy on the coast, they are nice and sunny up in the mountains. And when it's rainy in the mountains, it's nice and sunny on the coast. So,
wow.
But it's a pretty temperate climate there in Lima. We don't get much lower than 55.
And you are you still like in the food thing, hospitality
in
business,
a roundabout sort of? Kind of way. In a roundabout kind of way, we initially started to try sort of the Bon Vivant concept down in Peru, but Lima being a very different type of city, it's a city of 10 million people. Most people don't realize how big it is. It's, you know, super metropolitan and right on the coast and very modern, but it's very much a kind of a closed circle community. You really have to know people and get your contacts. So someone who's on the outside just starting out, it can be a little difficult. But the one thing that kept coming back into my world was travel. People are always looking for advice, how to travel through Peru really flexibly, how to not do a package tour. And we finally have started a business called Authentic Peru, which we are just in the process of launching right now. We've had a few clients already this year, strictly by word of mouth and a couple of strategic alliances. We haven't done a lot of marketing just yet. But what we do is we look at our travel business as more of a consulting type concept. and we charge basically a flat fee service rate for the level of service that you want, and we help you create your perfect personalized itinerary based on your budget and your comfort level and your interests.
Okay, so I can go to Peru. If I want to go to Peru, I can get in touch with you, and you can get me through that, and I can come over to your house in Peru and
exactly.
say hello.
And actually,
Oliver.
We do. We have people over to my house to have dinner. I take them on market tours. We learn a little bit about the food. And so that's where I say I'm a little bit related to the food side because, of course, gastronomy and the culinary world has always been kind of my passion. And since Peru is a top culinary destination in the world for several years running, has top restaurants on the world's top 50, we are taking it to a different level because a lot of gastronomic tours take you on the gourmet side of things. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is more of the farm to table. So take you out to the cacao plantations, the coffee plantations, get you into the roots, into the houses, have real culinary tours. So we're not just for the foodies, but we're for the foodie adventurist. So you get a little culture and a little food.
Wow. It sounds like a lot of fun. It really does. Now, your home... vacation, business, pleasure?
It's a little bit of both. Of course, I love to come back to Louisville. I do miss it when I'm gone, and it's great to come back and see old friends and make a few new ones. But, of course, this time we decided to take advantage a little bit of the time we're back here and bring a little bit of Peru to Lou. So we've created this great little concept called Peru to Lou with Love, and we're doing two events while I'm here. The first, which is on October 17th, this Friday. Okay. That's going to be at Westport Whiskey and Wines, and we are doing a Peruvian chocolate and Kentucky bourbon tasting.
Ooh.
So we'll be pairing up all three of the Four Roses bourbons with two different chocolates from Peru. I've brought chocolate straight back from the Peruvian rainforest, from both the northern and the central forest.
Wow.
And Erica Chavez of Cellar Door Chocolates has been kind enough to blend those chocolates for me and make them absolutely delicious for our tasters out there. And that event is from 4 to 7 on Friday.
Okay, so all you brought with you is a baby today, so I guess I've got to come to the event.
I know, I thought I had some chocolates with me, and I forgot to bring them. I apologize, but you'll just have to come out on Friday and try them with us. Now, it's $10 a person for that event, but we are actually supporting Jill's Wish Foundation with both of our events. It being
okay.
October and Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we thought it'd be really great to give back to a local charity while we're here, which was something we always did with Bon Vivant as well. Now, the other event we're doing is a great Peruvian... Yes, well. It's that good. It's a great Peruvian comfort food dinner, kind of family style, and we're bringing really typical dishes from Peru here to people in Kentucky, sourcing great produce and meats from the Kentucky farmers and using local products as well as some food items that you can't find here. We brought back from Peru with us, and we're partnering up with Chef Ellen Gill McCarty at Science Hill Inn for Wednesday, October 22nd for a Peru to Lou dinner.
Wow. That sounds
good. Yeah, we've had a great response for it so far. We're having to expand to be able to accept a few new people in for the dinner.
Okay. Anybody listening to this, how could they find out about that and go?
Best way to contact me is either to email me at joe@authenticperu.com, which is Joe, J-O.
J-O.
At authenticperu.com, just like it sounds. Mm-hmm. Or they can call me as well at 502-572-0800. 572-0800.
There you go. All right. Well, let's get back to some of the differences. I mean, I know, you know, a Louisville girl in Peru. What are the things, I guess, let me ask two questions. But first, what do you miss most about this area living away from it?
What do I miss most? I think I just miss sort of the American culture and way of life. And the easiest way to explain that is I come back here and I go, wow, everybody smiles and they say hello and they, you know, it's just super friendly. People are really, and customer service. Mm-hmm. Customer service is so much better back here. And I know we complain about certain things back here, but once you get to Peru, you really miss American customer service because it's just not the same down there at all.
Yeah.
But it's really amazing because Lima's a lot like Louisville. As big as it is, you know, you've got great circles, you've got great community. Once you do have great friends there, friends will take you in and support you in anything. And so there are actually a lot of similarities, even though there's a difference in size.
Wow.
An area.
Yeah, well, it seems so far away. It seems like a world away, I guess, but it's anybody can move to Lima if they want to, and you have, and successfully. And the other thing I have to ask you about, you left here single, and you came back married with a kid. So
yes, I did.
Some romantic story must have happened along
the way. Yeah, I got to Cusco, and I was really trying to get out and, you know, just meet new people. And I was no stranger to online dating back here in the States. So I sort of explored that option down in Peru. And initially, I just started in Cusco, but with approximately 30 eligible men in my range, with my not so super picky characteristics, I went out with two or three and thought, man, I need to widen this net really quickly. And as soon as I did, a lovely man from Lima wrote me. His name is Carlos. He's actually going to be at the dinner. He'll be here. Oh. He's coming in. So whoever's listening wants to meet my husband, you can do that on Wednesday the 22nd. And we met. I made my way to Lima. Everything went really quickly. And we were married less than a year later. And now we have this wonderful bundle of joy called Oliver.
Well, he's just doing great here. I mean, you're hearing a few peeps from the little guy, but he's remarkably good and quiet. It's amazing.
Generally, he's in his I found my voice mode, and
he's showing
to show
off for us here today on the show. Well, that's great. And so back in Louisville, you've seen a lot of I guess you've seen a lot of old friends. What kind of things you've been doing back here?
Oh, checking out new restaurants. I mean, I always love checking out restaurants, and hopefully they're still open when I get back here, because I still keep up with lots of my friends through Facebook and everything. That's one of the blessings of Facebook, is to still feel like you're participating.
Yeah, you're never really gone, right?
No, so I get to come back, and, you know, been hanging out at Bear Nose a little bit, which is just an old haunt, and then, you know, checked out Rue, which was new, and I've been to Loop 22, and just kind of trying to check out some of the new things, and plus taking lots of Mexican food as well,
because
I don't get Mexican food down there, and I really, really miss it. So.
No, really, they don't have I'm curious about the restaurants down there. I mean, do you have steakhouses and fried chicken places and all that that you have here, or is it totally
yes,
different?
We do. Pollo a la Brasa is the best chicken down there, which is rotisserie chicken. But, of course, there is Kentucky Fried Chicken, too. And my favorite thing is when I tell people I'm from Kentucky, they go, oh, Kentucky. And I said, yes, Kentucky. Like the chicken. Yes, like the chicken. And then they're surprised to find out that it's a city or a state. They don't know that it's a real place. So that's always kind of fun to go through.
Well, you always wonder what people think of. You got to go out of town to find out.
Now, horses,
you
know, and chicken.
I once went to Hawaii for the Derby, and you know, it gave me a whole new perspective on the way people outside of Kentucky look at the stuff that's important to us. So,
yeah,
it's an interesting world perspective. It's good to get out of the country, I guess.
It is. It is. I love it.
And so you're back. So we got to wrap this up here, but you're here for a couple more weeks, I guess.
Yeah, a couple more weeks.
Then it's. Back south.
Back south.
Before it gets cold here.
Yeah, we're hoping to start making this an annual event. So we'll hopefully be actually doing a Kentucky event down in Peru as well, because there's a lot down there to take advantage of as well, taking some bourbons back. And we'll try to do a Kentucky-style dinner down in Peru.
Well, very good. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'll have to get down to Peru at some point. So, Joe, you and Oliver, thank you all for coming by today and being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Well, thank you for having us. Great to be here.
And yes, Joe has inspired me. I think I want to go to Peru. I've not ever been down that way before. I think I went to Costa Rica is as far south of it as I've been. But I did study South America. I had a South American government class in college at Western. So she just makes it sounds pretty cool, I guess. So anyway, that'll wrap up another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. Hope you've enjoyed it. I really appreciate you tuning in. I've been getting a lot of feedback and a lot of downloads of the show, and please keep doing it. Make it a habit. Do it every week. I always am able to find interesting people. I've got a long list of people I want to get on the show, and it's fascinating to me, the variety of people with interesting jobs, interesting lives that are right here in our city. So anyway, that's what the show is all about. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Passport Health Plan, for being a part of the show, and to Dan Vinerheide, my great producer, who finds time to do this thing every week. You can find all the stuff about the show. Be sure and keep up with my journal on LouisvilleKY.com with my son Luke, and know that you can catch Rusty at RustySatelliteShow.com. You can see pictures of our guests, including Joe and her son Oliver, who are came by the studio. So anyway, until next week, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time I